Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 87.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be episode number 87 on voicing fundamentals. So this is going to be a voicing series. And the reason I'm putting this out, just like I did with the solo piano course, is that we're going to be releasing a voicing specialty course. And I think voicings, in my opinion, they're very obscure, right? And I really want to kind of debunk or demyth voicings in jazz piano, because I see so many of my students in the past, and even I in my own career, I would just try and learn voicings. Like, I'd be like, hey, do you know, so many people ask, right? Do you know any cool new voicings? Teach me some new voicings, right? Or I'd ask my teacher, can you show me some new voicings, right? And, you know, that's great. I do agree with that in certain ways. But at the same time, you should really be looking to create freedom in your voicing structure to be able to create your own voicings on the fly and think about more shapes and textures after you've mastered voicings in a systematic fashion. Now, that was a lot. I understand that. But I will dive into things through this series, and I'm really going to cover everything in the specialty course, everything regarding voicings. Pretty much every possible voicing combination you can think of, I'm going to go over. Now, that might sound a little ridiculous, because it'd be like there's an infinity amount of voicings. Well, no, there's not, right? We only have 10 fingers, and we can only make 10-note voicings, correct? So for a certain chord, let's say a minor seventh chord, there's only a finite amount of voicings we can make using our 10 fingers, right? Now, obviously, we're not going to play this, you know, over a D minor 7 chord. So I'm ruling those out. I'm going to use the classic extensions and classic traditional extensions and traditional sounds that jazz teaches. I'm not going to go too far off the spectrum, right, in my education, even though I do sometimes, you know, I encourage forward thinking. But I'm going to include all the possible voicings for your hand that you can possibly think of. Now, in JPS right now, the main course, for left-hand voicings, we have over 1,000 left-hand voicings using all extensions. And, you know, that took forever. I mean, I think it took about half a year, but we notated all of them, and they're available for all the members, right, in our main course curriculum. That's available for schools and things like that, using the JPS main course as a curriculum. Now, the voicing specialty course will contain that. If you're just looking for voicing specialty information, it will contain all those voicings, plus much more in-depth information about how to create voicings, so on and so forth. And it will just all be about voicing. So what we're going to be doing here is just going over the fundamentals. So with these fundamentals, there's three different basic principles you want to learn when creating voicings, okay? So voicings in jazz, again, they're very obscure, right? So you might think, if I play this, or if I play this, or this, right? Or stuff like that, you might say, oh, let me learn those voicings. What are they, right? Well, there's ways that we go about creating the voicing. Okay, and these are the basic fundamentals that I want to teach you. Now, for a voicing, depending upon if you're playing in a band or you're playing solo piano, you want one thing right off the bat. You want the shells of the chord. The shells of the chord are the 3 and 7. If I play a C dominant 7 chord, your shells are going to be 3 and 7. The shells make up the main quality of the chord. If I change my shell notes, I'm going to be changing a major quality of the chord. If I change 3 to flat 3, I now have a C minor 7 chord. So that's why those notes are so, so important, because they make up the majority quality of the chord. So because they're so important, we need them in the chord to create the sound of the harmony, right? And without them, we don't get a majority of the sound of the harmony. So we always want the shells in our voicing. Now, the other thing we want in our voicing sometimes, if we're playing solo piano, is the bass note. Without that bass note, we don't have the bottom end or the root or the foundation to the voicing, right? So if I just play a C, if I just play the shells, for example, for a C7 chord, this could also be the shells for an F sharp 7 chord. Or, you know, it could be the 13 and sharp 9 of a G7 chord. You just don't know without the root in the chord. That's why if I do this, that's what makes it a C7 chord. The root is going to be on the bottom, which holds up the end of the voice, the bottom end, the foundation, right? So we want those three things. And especially, you know, in your voicings, even playing in a band, it's helpful, and I'm going to show you in 2 seconds, to have the root in your voicings, as well as playing rootless voicings. A lot of people just play rootless voicings, and it leaves out a bottom or thick end to their voicings. If I'm playing all drop twos, you know, that's going to sound very thin. Whereas if I come down here, that low end, thick end texture with voicings and bass note, I comp like that. I mean, I legitimately comp exactly how I just showed you with a bass player. And people, you know, a lot of people will be like, well, you have the bass player, why are you playing the bass notes? But it's about the sound and the texture. So anyway, that's just an example of how you would, you know, why bass notes are also important in your comping and building voicings as well. So anyway, the first structure you want to know, okay? We're going to go through just three main structures today. And this is going to be 1 and 7 in your left hand, and your right hand takes the third. So with this setup, I'm going to show you a G7 chord because it fits in the register very evenly or very nicely balanced in this register right here. It's going to be 1, 7, 3, okay? So again, with this structure, we have root and shells, okay? Just everything we need. Now, if I wanted to comp like this, I could do it. I just played a 2-5-1, right? G7, going to C7, going to F major 7. Now, is that very bland? Yes. But again, if I'm going to comp like that bland, I'd probably do this. Play my shells in my right hand. But what this allows us to do, as you'll see here, is my right hand fingers are all free now to add colors and other chord tones on top of my structure, which is the great thing, which is, you know, that's what we want. We want those colors and extensions to create jazz chords. So without going to much in depth about extensions, right? Hopefully you know a little bit about extensions. If not, you can go back over my extensions intro, but we can add extensions now onto this chord. So we have our main elements, our structure here. So I can add a 9 up here, and let me save that actually, okay? I'm going to add just the root on top. I'm just going to give it a natural color, natural flavor. This is a chord tune. So I added one note to our voicing, and I'm going to add one extension now in the middle. I'm going to add our 13. So already I've just created a jazz voicing with my structure one. Remember, structure one is left hand, root, and 7. Right hand thumb takes the third, okay? And I've added the 13 and 1. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard something similar to this. This is just me moving down in half steps, going through dominant 7 chords. Right? I mean, that's something that you hear a lot. You hear people play that, right? Or, let me see, you can move up in half steps, back down. So that voicing, if I showed that to you, I really want to get this, I really want this concept to really sink. If I just show you this voicing, you learn the voicing, but you don't understand what's going on. So I really want you to understand that this foundation here in how Jazz Piano School teaches is that we're working on tools that are going to help you develop your freedom in jazz. Not so you're copying, because when you're just copying, you're not understanding the principles and how it can lead to other things in your jazz vocabulary, okay? So now I can change the 13 here to a flat 13 if I want. And I'm using the same exact structure. I've now created another voicing using this structure, right? All only because I changed one note. Now, what I can also do is start to change my other top two notes. I have a 1 on top. I can also change this to a 9 if I want. So I have my main voicing foundation, 13 and 9. Now, again, here's another voicing I've created, right? So I can continuously play with the extensions in my dominant chord to continuously create new voicings. I can add my sharp 11 now with my index finger, creating a nice rich spread voicing here. I could add the 5 here if I want a little bit more thickness, right? I could add a bass note, then jump to this chord to add some low end rich texture. Listen to how this changes the texture. I think this is off camera. Yeah, almost barely, but here we go. Right? So already with structure one, we're starting to create all these different options and possibilities that just learning these voicings or having them taught to you individually wouldn't really do you much good. And unfortunately, this is how people create holes in their jazz piano education, right? So I can change the 9 around to flat 9. I can change it to flat sharp 9, right? I can have just natural 13, sharp 9. But anyway, as we move into more advanced voicings, that's the type of thing we can do. But just creating voicings, this structure will allow you to do that, right? We can put 5 here in the middle and have 1 up top. We can have flat 9 up top with 5. There's just so many different options. So that's structure 1, right? And basically, what we do is progress those into different I'm giving you variations right now. The specialty course that I'm talking about that we're going to release is going to have all of the variations for that structure, right? So all of the different variations that mix and match with all the different types of extensions, traditional extensions that are available over a dominant chord for this structure. Now, we're going to move to structure 2. Let me grab some water real quick. Sorry. Thanks. So structure 2 is going to be 1 in 3. Now what we're doing here, 1 in 3 is going to be more of our tight-knit, close voicing just because due to the third on the bottom, right? 1 in 7 creates more of a spread. So for example, if we have a minor chord and we do something like this for a G minor 7, right? So we have 1, 7, 3, that's our main structure. Now from here, we want to voice lead this in a 2-5. It doesn't make much sense for us to go like this, right? We want to voice lead it, which means using the least amount of movement possible to get to the next chord. So instead of jumping from 1 and 7, if you see here, 1 and 3 are very nicely, closely intertwined into our 2-5-1. It just allows us to do this, right? So we can go here, maybe to this. I love that chord. We could use flat 9 as well. Okay. So as you see here, this is structure 2. I have 1 and 3 and 7 in my right hand. So it's switched. I had 1, 7 and 3, or 3 for the minor. Now we have 1, 3 and 7. The other thing you'll notice is that my 7 here doesn't move. It's the same note. Right? Look at this. In a 2-5-1, if I'm playing a minor, G minor 7 chord, moving to the C7, my thumb stays in the exact same spot. Now, if you're playing different types of chords, right? If you're moving from a G7 to a C7, your thumb will move. But in a typical 2-5-1, which you see a lot, your thumb's not going to move. So you have 1-7-3, 1-3-7. Okay, now from here, again, your right hand fingers have all this room to create voicings, right? I can add the 9. I can add the 5. What I played before was the sharp 9. 5. But you already start to see how we can build so many different variations in voicings with these bottom end structures that allow us to create voicings. They allow us to create all these different variations of voicing. So we're building our vocabulary, our voicing vocabulary on our own. I mean, we're literally teaching ourselves to build new voicings. Okay. And as we expand on this series, I'm going to show you, you know, we're going to go more in depth into this category using shapes and different textures and upper structure triads as well. But anyway, so that's going to be foundational, fundamental element number 2, right? Is structure 1, 3, 7. Now, the last structure I'm going to show you is a little different. Now, sometimes this might be hard for people to reach, but we can also just, kind of jump, right, with our left hand. Now, this is going to be 1 and 3, but with a tenth apart, okay? So if I was playing this 2-5-1, I might do this, going to this. Now, if I go to 1 and 3 here, I can add my 7 here, and this creates an even bigger spread for me to create a voicing. As you see here, the different structures create certain spreads. 1-7 in my left hand and 3 creates a nice spread. I could probably reach this. I can even reach 11 on top, possibly. If I leave out the 5, I can definitely reach the 11 on top. I can go 3, 13 maybe, 9, 11. That's a very beautiful voicing. So this creates a nice spread. Now, see the 3rd and then 7. This is obviously going to create a shorter spread because I have a 3rd on the bottom. I don't have a 7th. When we extend our option to a 10th on the bottom, this creates an even larger spread. Now, what does that mean? Larger spreads, you have more balanced voicing. You have a longer register, right, that you're playing out. You're going to create a very rich, dense chord that's spread out. So it sounds really kind of grandiose, right? These cluster voicings like this, right? They're tight kind of clusters that sound great, but they're not a spread voicing, which is going to create a completely different texture. So here's my 1 and 3, a tenth apart. Now, again, we have 1 and 3. We always want the shells in our voicing. So we have 1 and 3. We need the 7. So I'm going to put the 7 here. Now, as you can see, my right hand here, look at all this room I have. I could do this all the way. Look at that spread, huh? That's ridiculous. It's amazing. Now, I can also add something here if I want, and with my index finger, because I do have that finger available. Right? Something like that. But again, it shows you the potential of using 1 and 10. So now, like I said before, if you can't reach this, no problem. I mean, I can't reach a 10th. Let me see. Going from B to D sharp, I can barely reach that. B flat to D, I can't really reach. So I'd have to kind of roll this. So what we want to do in those situations is roll the chord like that. So all I do is, right, kind of hit the bass note. All right. Just like that. Okay. So those are 3 fundamentals. Now with the 3rd one, I want to show you one more thing. Besides just adding the A here, as you saw when I was kind of explaining it, my index finger can also add a note here. Now, if I add the 7th in with my 3rd, I have everything I need here. I have 1, 7, and 3. Now, what do you think this allows me to do with my right hand? Absolutely anything. I can play anything I want and in any register. I could play something up here. I could play something up here. Right? I could do a run if I want. You know? I have all the main elements I need. Okay, 1, 7, 3, bass note and shells. So my right hand's free to do anything, right? If I use this this fundamental number 3, but with the variation, right? Root 7-3 for like a minor 7th chord, for example, I can create a voicing like this. And again, I can use any notes I want. That's how it gives us freedom, right? And again, just to you know, to make this easier too, if you can't reach this, just hit the bass note and then shells, right? So my right hand can pick any colors, any notes that they want. Now, how do you pick, right? Well, that's a whole different story. I mean, you can really build up anything you want with extensions, your fill notes. You can use double chord tones. It's completely up to you. I can use all five of my fingers picking extensions and chord tones, right? I could use my thumb. A lot of people will use this thumb to play two notes at one time. Seven, nine, 11. I could add my 4 on the 3rd. Right, I could do that. I could do my 4 on the C and D and double the C and D. Like, look at this voicing. I've never played this voicing before, and already I'm expanding my vocabulary. Now, on my gigs, I do this just spontaneously. I mean, I have fun with it because I can pick. Once I have my root and shells, I can do whatever I want. You know what I mean? So now the other thing, fundamental number 2, I told you that our left hand has 1 and 3 and 7. Okay. Now I organized the material so that I could teach it to you and move through fundamental 1, left hand 1 and 7, 3, fundamental 2, left hand 1 and 3 and 7, and then 1 and 3 with the 10th, and then your 7 in your right hand, right? But the other, I just wanted to do that for more structure so I could educate you better. But the other thing you can do with structure 2 is simply not play 1 and 3 and right hand takes the 7. You can play 1, 3, and 7 all with your left hand, right? Now, this is similar to playing 1, 3, and 7, right? You know, in a minor chord or what, or like the G minor we just played. So I played root 7, 3. Now you start to see how we can use these in different examples, right? 1, 3, 7 doesn't work like this arrangement because it's too low. So I would change that to 1, 7, 3 because it's too low in that register. Now 1, 3, and 7 for a C7 chord works perfectly. This register right here is perfect. We're getting a little low, a little too low on the A flat. That's really, it's kind of pushing it right there. A7 kind of works still. You can add some nice chords in off of that. So again, this is a variation of fundamental number 2. Instead of having your right hand take the 7, your left hand takes all of it. Again, what does this do? This allows our right hand to play, add more colors, add more shapes, textures. It's freedom. Our right hand has freedom. Instead of, this locks us in to this much room in our voicing. When our left hand takes it, our right hand has the entire piano to do whatever it wants. We're creating freedom, right? The Jazz Piano School tagline, learning freedom. So our left hand takes 1, 3, 7. We can do whatever we want. All right, so those are the fundamentals. Now, just to review, I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of questions, but you want to, you want to practice these, finding these fundamentals and working on them through your changes, right? Through 2-5-1s, through major 7s, through dominant 7s, through minor 7s, right, through all your chords, and just practice finding the root, the 7, and the 3 for all minor chords, for example. So here's my G minor, right? I would start on C minor. You can move around your circle of fourths, right? This should be completely natural to you. Find that format first. Practice that format, then start to add other notes in your fingers, right? And that will allow you to create other voicings. Okay, so you do that for all your different chords. Then you go to fundamental number 2. 1 and 3 and 7 in your right hand. You just want to practice this, right? Now it's okay to change your fingering because all your left hand will have at all times is 1 and 3. It's not going to have anything else just yet, right? You go through that. Then you practice 1, 3, a tenth apart, and 7 in your right hand. If you need to roll it, go for it, right? Okay, again, you can go through the circle of fourths. You can go C, F, right? Again, B flat, I have to roll. So I would do this, right? Same with G, right? So I'd be doing that kind of stuff. So you play the top two together. And then again, you have your variation. So with fundamental 2, all this is going to be is 3 and 7. That will be easy. That's like playing just a root position chord without the 5. Easy peasy. With your 1 and 3, you're going to add the 7. This is fundamental number 3, the variation. You're going to add the 7 into the chord, right? So C major, right? F major, B flat, I have to roll, right? E flat, right? I have to roll. This one, I can almost reach, okay? Go through all your keys that way. I think there was something I was forgetting. I don't think so. Then you start to add your right hand. But that's how we start to build voicings. Now, these three fundamentals are the fundamentals to build voicings, okay? And again, these are two-hand voicings. Now, I'm going to show you how to progress this when we start to work on upper structure triads and kind of moving through the voicing series, okay? In the next step, I'm going to show you how to start to progress these because these are not rootless voicings, right? But they're thick, colorful voicings. You can still use these to comp with, okay? So I hope that was helpful for you guys. Again, if you want the structures laid out for you, the fundamental structures of the voicings I just talked about with the variations, go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast87. You can download the notation for that. All right, so we have two more episodes in this podcast series on creating voicings. I hope that was helpful, and I will talk to you in the next episode. Happy practicing.